Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lads to Dads. This week, we're joined by Paul Spence of the Paul Brain Injury Charity. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you.
Now, we're both from the same city. I don't know if you're originally from Hull, but I used to live in Hull, was brought up in Hull and moved away. But yeah, it's nice to meet somebody who's, you know, from the same city and everything else like that. I have them on the show every now and again. So Paul, I'd like to start from where everything began. So could you just maybe start from the beginning and go from there, really?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to take you back 10 years to 2012. A little bit about myself, who I was and the life that I was living at that time. I'm a father of two wonderful children, Shannon and Reese, and about 12, 13 at the time, so both very cheeky. But, you know, we have a good family life out on our days out and lots of activities. I've got a partner, Gemma. We've been together about 10 years. The next step for us is marriage. I'm an electrical engineer. I've been at the same company since I was 16 years old. Yeah. As an apprentice. I'm running sites. I've worked my way up through that electrical engineer apprenticeship, and I'm running sites up to 20 lads, managing 20 lads on site, electricians, and up to £1 million contracts. I love my job. Yeah, I'm good at it. I'm well paid. So I thought that'd be my job for life, to be honest with you. And work hard, play hard. I'm out with the boys at the weekend, obviously. So I'm in a good place in life, family life, work life, social life. It's not perfect. No, life's not perfect, but I've worked hard to be where I am, and I'm relatively happy. Yeah. And then there was an incident that would change my life forever. And I went out on a bank holiday weekend to the local pub. We'd been down to this pub, you know, thousands of times. It was bank holiday, so it was really busy. I went in the pub and actually met some friends, and they was finishing their drinks. And I said, "We're leaving." I said, "No, I just need the loo." So I went through the crowds to the toilet, and unbeknownst to my friends, and unbeknownst to me, obviously, I just walked in. There was some friction with some lads at the other end of the bar.
Yeah.
And I went into the toilet. All hell broke loose. There was stools getting thrown, lots of fighting. Some lads got glassed in the leg. You know, it was horrific. Yeah. And I was completely oblivious. I was in the toilet. And one of the people who'd started this fight walked into the toilet as I was walking out of the cubicle. And I was looking down, doing my buttons up, and he hit me, uppercutted me for no reason at all. One punch, didn't see it coming, landed heavy, flew back, and I hit my head on the ceramic floor in the toilets.
Yeah,
that was likened to two snooker balls smashing together from the people that was in the toilets. They were obviously frightened about what had happened. This person ran off, and I was out cold, blood coming out of my ears, and making some sort of some distressing noises, apparently. Yeah. So, you know, and I was blue-lighted to Hull Royal Infirmary with suspected brain trauma.
Right, yeah.
Upon admittance at Hull Royal, I had some scans done, which did show that I'd had a frontal lobe brain hemorrhage.
Right.
My brain was bleeding. On the frontal lobe's at the front, just behind your skull. It's the largest lobe of your brain, responsible for your personality, cognitive function.
Yeah, I know it's obviously not the same, but everybody nowadays watches, you know, documentaries and things on serial killers and all these things, and they say a lot of that is due to lack of empathy from the frontal brain. So did you have any sort of issues with empathy and things like that after that, or did it affect your personality?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so I was admitting that I was unconscious for a while, and then I woke up to my dad's delight, who was sat bedside just after a few days, and actually I went straight into a seizure. And in amid some horrific noises, and my dad actually thought I was dying, which, you know, so, obviously so traumatic for my dad, and for all of my family. And I was taken to ICU, intensive care. So I was there for another few days. Thankfully, pulled through, and I was well enough to go back to neurosurgical ward, and I stayed there for about another 6 weeks.
And as I
did sort of start to sit up, the lights were on, but there was no one really home. You know, I was a shadow of my former self, didn't really engage in a lot of conversation. I had a speech impediment and really memory challenges. I struggled to understand the world, if I'm honest with you, and I was a real basic model of my former self. So cognitively I was struggling. It's not like you can articulate all your challenges. You just having to live it day by day, and people are obviously recognizing this, and you know, and to a certain degree it was all right for me. I knew something was wrong, but I was poorly, but I didn't necessarily know what was that I couldn't see the bigger picture due to lack of insight. And my family could, you know, they saw the true impact of that injury and they were frightened for my future. I had some fantastic care at Holroyd Infirmary. And then I was discharged and I was able to go home. But actually, it was when I was discharged that the real struggle began. My family were told I would have a 2 to 3 year recovery, and at the end, I would never be the same. There would be lasting damage. But they're not sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
But they're not sure as to how anyone will recover, because every brain injury survivor recovers differently. So there were no answers, no real answers as to how anyone will recover. There's so many factors as to how you recover, obviously biology, genetics, and then how you manage your recovery journey. All really matters. And my family wasn't trained to support someone with an acquired brain injury. They didn't even know what acquired brain injury was, you know.
Yeah. And I guess you've got, I've been introduced to you through my mum, who's recently had a brain, a bleed on the brain. And it must have been twice as difficult for you, because my mum's just came out of nowhere. And, you know, she wasn't in the right categories of people to have that. You know, she doesn't smoke, she doesn't really drink that often and everything else. But with you, you've got to deal also with the fact that this has been caused by someone else, you know, somebody else's stupid, you know, actions. And that must have been tricky to deal with too.
I think, absolutely, Matthew. I think it was harder for my family. They were really angry about what, you know, I would sustain this injury. They could see that I was not well at all, and my function was so basic, and to be told that I would never be the same, you know, it's heartbreaking for my kids. And where's active dad, the man that we depend on? My partner was looking at me, and I was just sort of sat there staring into space. You know, I used to pace up and down in the lounge and around the house, rubbing my hands together. I didn't leave the house alone for 4 months because I was just too confused. So it affected everybody. I was at the centre of a ripple, and it went out affecting everything and everybody in such a negative way. At this time, I never really thought about what had happened to me. I don't think I could process that information. Just really, I mean, people talked about it around me, but I wasn't sound of mind, so I didn't compute it in the same way you would have done if you was. If that makes sense. And to be honest with you, I don't think you can't manage it. If you could process it and you're so vulnerable, it'd probably crush you. So it's probably a good job that you cannot.
But
I used to say to my brother, I'm one of five siblings, and actually in the end, I had to say to my brothers and some of my friends and my dad, you need to stop getting angry around me, because it's sort of draining me. I can feel your vibration almost, and I know you mean well, but it tires me out.
Yeah,
that level level of intensity and that sort of aggravation in your voice. For someone affected by a brain injury who's struggling with neuro fatigue and just understanding the world, it wasn't good for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed this in my mum as well, is that she's much more sensitive to even if I'm speaking loudly, or, you know, there's a lot of talking, or and she's obviously tired all the time, and she's back at work now, but these little bits, you know, she forgets things. She'll ring me up and say about something she talked about two days ago or whatever. And originally I sort of was a bit like, yeah, I know, Mum, you've told me, or yeah, I know that. And then I realised actually that's probably not great for her to hear. So I just sort of now, you know, pretend that it's the first time she's said it. So yeah, I know that obviously it affects family members as well, and it can be frustrating. But at the same time, once you get to understand it, and thanks to your charity, my mum sent me across a lot of information on how it affects people, and is that sort of what inspired you to go down this route, setting up the charity, because there weren't much help out there or information?
Yeah. I'd received fantastic support from Hull Royal, and then I was fortunate. I had a neuropsychologist for my rehabilitation for 2 years. That was 1 hour a week, and then 1 hour a month as I got further into recovery. The rest of the time, I was out, you know, just in the community, struggling, really, to be honest with you. I was my relationship was struggling. The injury had robbed the connection between Gemma and I. I was just sort of different. Any sort of love and affections wasn't there. I didn't feel any emotion to anything or anybody, which was really hard for my family to see, especially my children and my siblings. I'd been a very caring person, pre-brain injury, thoughtful. And you can see a lot of that in people's eyes and the characteristics of the facial expressions and things, and the way the warm, you know, our personality and our identity is formed, and people understand who we are. And all that was very different. And I went back to work after about 8 months, but neuropsychology said we're not sure you'll be able to do the job due to the wide range of knowledge that you need to know, and also you need a good memory, because you need to make sure you're turning things off as an electrician.
Yeah.
So we're not sure. You got to go back and just try. And then social circles faltered. You know, I'm really blessed with amazing friends, but you certainly get to find out who your friends are when you're going through something like this. And financially, I was struggling. And so during the first year of recovery, to be honest with you, I had this lack of insight, but I was slowly getting more and more awareness, almost like a dimmer switch being switched on. And that was recovery, that was repair. I was thankful for that. Not everyone gets that, unfortunately. It depends on the severity of the injury. The only consequence of that was depression. So I started to see, it was about nine months around, and I started to see just how much this injury had blown my life to pieces. Again, I think if you could see it in early recovery, it sends you insane. Yeah. I think it's good that it happens slowly. It's like a drip feeding you more awareness. But it is depression. A lot of brain injury survivors do struggle with depression at some point during the recovery, further on, you know, typically. And obviously, I started to think about my future and what I was going to do, but there was nowhere for me to go, nowhere in the community to go and seek support, sit with other people and talk about my challenges and my losses, you know, and my frustrations. And it didn't help. It really never. Now, what I had been good at doing, just intuitively, was helping myself in terms of my lifestyle. So I adopted a really good lifestyle in terms of the gym, healthy lifestyle choices. In terms of nutrition, with food and sleep and resting. When I did suffer with depression, it took a while, this one, but reluctantly, I did access some mental health support. My brother actually helped me do that. Once I did, changed my life. You know, I'm a massive mental health advocate. And, you know, if you are struggling, please do get some support. It was life-changing for me. And without that, I would never be doing the things that I'm doing now. So...
Well, that's what this podcast's all about, really. It came from, you know, me and my friend going through quite a depressive stages in our lives right at the time when we just had kids, when we should be the happiest. And we were sort of there on the phone to each other all the time. And, talking, we thought there must be other fellas out there feeling like this. Maybe we'll, you know, put it across in our way, you know, the way lads talk, rather than, and, you know, showing that it's good to talk and showing that actually, like you say, we're just human beings, are just plants, aren't they? What we need is good sunlight, good, you know, I know plants don't run around, but exercise, good sunlight, good food. If you stick kitchen oil in your car, it's not going to work, is it? Same way as if you stick booze in you and everything else like that all the time, you're not going to work properly. So, that's great.
All these things, hydration. I was trying to focus on what my brain needed to function well. And obviously, mental health is then, you know, a product of your brain function, really, you know, and what the physical processes that are going on within the brain, what you're feeding your brain, the environments you're in, the rest, restful states, all this is influencing your neurochemistry, which then influences your mental health. And for me, I sort of learned a bit about the brain and sort of think that the brain's not talked about enough in terms of mental health. I think there's a huge gap there, if I'm honest with you, but I could talk to you about that all day, so I need to get off that one. I do a lot of the work we do with the charity is about education around the brain and the physical processes that are going on that you can have an influence over to support your mental health.
Yeah.
So, you know, this may be a conversation for another day. But so I was going through COVID, nowhere to go. I was employing good lifestyle choices. I was using coping strategies to help me. So I was different and I had to go through this journey of acceptance and having to use coping strategies, lists, reminders, alarms, talking more openly to people, which actually really helped, you know, and people were never going to understand this injury unless I told them and told them how I was feeling and what I was struggling with. But actually, when I was communicating, my life just became easier. Yeah. I had to face things on my own. I wasn't limiting myself to anything. And I almost had to learn to live vulnerably. I had to go out in the community vulnerable. I was a vulnerable man. And, you know, there's a choice. I either stay in and don't do anything and live life, or I go out there and I am vulnerable and sort of hold my hands out and say, I'm struggling with this, or can you help me? And actually, people are wonderful. If you just let them know and let them in, the giving of the community and people, there is a real understanding there. It's there.
Yeah.
And I felt it. I felt that. I sort of let ego go, let pride go, because vulnerability.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness.
If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ability and ego do go together. You cannot have an ego and be vulnerable.
Well, so, I think it's one of our biggest flaws in it as men is ego. Like it's yeah. Not a good. Like I've heard the phrase your ego is not your amigo, and it's like it really in you know.
I let go years ago. And actually, learned to live vulnerably, learned to live uncomfortably, but just opened out and just spoke to people and communicated well, look after my health, look after my brain health in terms of exercise and nutrition, all these different things. I set myself some goals, which were really healthy during a really negative recovery. Set myself some short-term goals and long-term goals. One of them was getting in Men's Health magazine, which I achieved. And that was through hard work in the gym and being consistent. I ran a half marathon on the year of the first year after the injury. I wanted to put to bed what had happened to me, my family and I, and create new memories because I was struggling with my memory at the time and cognitive function. Create new memories, put to bed what happened to me, and raise some money for Hull Road Infirmary Neuro Ward. Okay. And 70 friends got involved in that run, which is just truly amazing. These people don't run for a bus. So the fact that I was all out there training to run this half marathon and fundraising, we raised 17.5 grand for that one to say thank you for saving my life and the excellent care they've provided. And then at the two-year mark of recovery, I had some tests done with neuropsychology. I got up to 3 days at work. I was struggling, to be honest, Matthew. I was just struggling with remembering things. I was forgetting my tools. I remember, I'd been the strongest link at work and I'd been good to the lads and they looked after me. They did look after me. But I was hiding behind them, really, and it's not me as a person. And I had some tests done, which deemed key attributes I needed for that job I was unlikely to get better at. And neuropsychologist said, you need to leave. And the gaffer, I went to the gaffer, he said, stay. The company thinks a lot of you, the lads will look after you, but I couldn't be behind them. And so I said, no, I need to go. I was frightened. I was really frightened. Electrics is all I'd ever known from being 16 years old. But it was a daily reminder of the injury and what it had done to me. So I knew I needed to go and start a new career. I wasn't sure what that was going to be. Obviously, I was a brain-injured man. I had my deficits in terms of cognitive function, memory challenges. So, it was a big challenge. I was at home after that, and that's in the community again. So 2 years later, I'd been through my depression, been through it sort of adapting. Like Gemma had moved out at this point. The relationship had crumbled and Gemma had moved. And so I thought, again, I was sat at home and I thought, what am I going to do with my life? And there's nowhere to go again for someone who's had a brain injury. You have a cold for 5 days, you're fed up. Yeah. Or you have a pot on your arm for 6 weeks and you're fed up. You imagine 2 years and this brain is still there. It's very much part of your life. It's not going away.
Yeah.
It's a lot to deal with. And I thought about the support. At that time, we'd raise another 8 grand for Hull Royal, which was all well and good. But actually, I thought where the money's needed is in the community.
Yeah.
There needs a point of access where people can go and seek support. And I did a timeline, like a recovery timeline of my injury. I sort of had a lot of time because I was at home alone. And I started writing about how it is to live with a brain injury, ways in which I was acting in early recovery, which I couldn't articulate at the time. I was making sense of this damaged brain. It's difficult. But I understood what was good for me and what wasn't. And I thought I could be a voice for others.
Yeah.
Well, everyone recovers differently and we are unique in our own right. But there are a lot of common challenges with brain injury, which I sort of thought maybe other people might like to hear this or family members might like to hear this to support their loved one better. And it took me weeks, in fact, months to do this timeline. It was on Facebook. There was sort of notes all over my house and my family would come around and say, Paul, you need to get yourself a little job. I think, well, they thought I'd lost it, to be honest with you. And I'd taken the pretty picture down in the living room, what Gemma had up, and I put this whiteboard up and then shot it all over it. And, I could see why they was worried looking back, but I just knew I needed to do this. And it took me ages. I did it, published it. And then people started messaging me saying, will you come and see my mum? Will you come and see my dad? Will you come and see my gran, my brother, my sister? So I was actively going out and sitting with people in the community. I mean, it was a bit dodgy looking back. I was just going on the bus and knocking on doors. It could have been anybody, but when I sat with brain injury survivors, they looked and they could see it and they said, you get it? And I said, yeah. They said, nobody else does. You know, my family don't understand. And I said, well, they're not going to. It's such a unique injury. But they needed to hear that from somebody because I think it had been causing friction, or certainly had been causing friction with certain family units. And I could, sometimes some people didn't have access to a neuropsychologist. So some of the common challenges of brain injury, which I'd learned some coping strategies from mine, I could sort of pass on some suggestions and then maybe could tailor that suggestion to suit them and their needs. And then the family members would say, oh, he's doing this or she's doing that. Will you come back and see her next week? And so, you know, I was going into schools talking about the one punch. It ruins lives, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just sort of embarked on this new world, really, to be honest with you. And I'd said, unknowingly, only when I look back, do I know now, but I'd said to myself, I'll do anything to make this work.
Mm.
I literally have done anything in terms of push myself physically and mentally and, you know, in so many situations, Matthew. But actually what I didn't realise at the time either was that it was going to completely enrich my own life and my recovery.
Yeah.
Push my boundaries with that passion to support others. And actually I was going to be a beneficiary in return. I didn't have any clue about that at the time. And, I went to see the NHS, the local NHS, the CCG, and it took me months to see the sort of chief officer. And I went in and I said, look, the service for the people affected by brain injuries are poor. And they said, oh, what do you suggest? I said, we're doing something, but I need a place where people can come along and support each other. You know, I'd like you to help me with that. I said, okay, go away, get a business plan and come back. I confidently said, I will.
Yeah,
walked out and thought, I don't have no idea what a business plan is. You know, I really never had a clue. I was an electrician for 16 years. I don't know what a business plan was. But I was passionate and I went out and thankfully met the right people to support me with that. It's amazing when you seem to be on a journey in life and you're really passionate and you're putting yourself out there in the right places and just working hard, you get to meet people. It's almost like life, and people talk about the universe rewarding you and all this sort of stuff, but it was almost like the Truman Show for me sometimes, where I thought someone was going to jump out and say, it's all set up, because they literally need someone or something. And these people would come into my life. I'd meet them through somebody else.
It's funny, isn't it, how like you say, it's like the universe falls into place for you, and if you find the right calling and what you're meant to do in life, then all the pieces fall into place for you, don't they?
It was spooky. And met some fantastic business people who helped me, and we took the business plan back to the NHS, and then they provided us a space at the Wilberforce Health Centre. So in 2016 we opened the first community-based brain recovery centre in our city, obviously a momentous day on my journey, but more importantly for the people of Hull and East Riding that it would serve.
Yeah.
And I've assembled some trustees who were really just my cleverest friends. We're good at business and we're good at finance and good at marketing and things like that. And they give up their time, you know, and they were out of the depth, you know, they didn't know what a trustee necessarily was, but they was willing to research and educate themselves on what they needed to who they needed to be, to meet this need for me and to sort of to create the charity. We became UK registered thanks to a local solicitor, Neil Hudgel, who supported us. And just family, friends and kind-hearted members of the public had all sort of been there from the start. Businesses were coming on board, the NHS was on board, and it was just this snowball, you know?
Yeah.
We opened our door and a brain injury case manager volunteered for a time, which was fantastic for us in terms of our early development. And now we're 6 years on.
Yeah, yeah. I know that it's been invaluable for my mum, you know, from a personal point of view, I can see that it's been, you know, invaluable for her in the work that you do to help, because like you say, there's not always a lot of people out there. I mean, yeah, she gets sent people from the hospital who, you know, do the cognitive tests. And, you know, I think she was a bit, they said about the food she needs to eat and stuff like this. And she was a little bit sort of rolling her eyes about that and things like this. But she said, but that actually the help of the understanding of, you know, you and your organisation is what's really helped. And she said, I said to her, you know, look, you've been a nurse all your life and you've done all this, but I can see you're not really like massively, you know, I think, why don't you, you know, look at something else that, you know, you're going to enjoy now, because she's not on the A&E wards anymore and everything else. And now I think she's always said, oh, well, I'd love to get, you know, involved in help in some sort of way with the Paul, you know, the Paul charity. So yeah. It's...
hopefully.
I keep saying, oh, you should go ahead and say, yeah, but let me just sort of work out at the first and all this type of stuff. And I know that she's almost become very passionate about what you do, and, you know, because it's helped her so much. So it just shows what a, you know, like I say, what great things you do in the community for people. I know that we're coming to the end because I'm far too tight to pay for a paid Zoom subscription.
I should have Zoomed you.
Oh, right, on. Yeah. Well, you know, I just wanted people to really know where they can go to see you, you know, to, you know, your website and how people can, if they need, you know, help from you.
It's self-refer. So it's just at paul4brainrecovery.co.uk. Paul, actually, the charity registration is an acronym. It's Positivity, Awareness, Understanding and Love for Brain Recovery. Actually, it was just what I was doing in the community at the time. When we came to register the charity, my mum and my sister said, what are you going to call it? And I said, oh, I don't know, I never thought of it. And they said, what is it you're doing? So I said, well, I'm doing this. I mean, there's lots of words, but those words, you know, really stood out for us. And so Paul for Brain came to be. People can self-refer. We have consultants that are referring to us now, neurosurgeons, doctors, nurses. We have nurse champions on the wards at Hull Royal Infirmary and at Castle Hill Rehabilitation. You know, we've got strong links with all the healthcare professionals in the city, social services, etc. I just want to help, you know, anybody affected by acquired brain injury. There is an acquired brain injury every 90 seconds in the UK. They're a lot more prevalent than what you might think. And, you know, survivors understand the difficulties, which is why, you know, you spoke about your mum there being passionate, because it is such a difficult injury to recover from. And so they'll understand that the other people will need support. And a lot of our community come together and support each other. You know, peer support is so amazing to see. I had a couple of 20-year-olds we've supported for about the last 6 years. And there's a new 20-year-old recently who's had a brain injury. He's only a year into recovery and he's struggling. And the other guys got around him yesterday. It was so powerful to see that, you know, and to see they know where he's at, and sharing their lived experiences to make him feel a little bit better, and that there is hope for the future, you know. So, yeah, and we have lots of other services, social activities, health and well-being, family support, one-to-one group education, advocacy. You know, we want people to just live a happy, meaningful life after brain injury. Like I said, if I'm honest, Matthew, I could talk all day about it, and, you know, some of the things that I've gone on to do in terms of fundraising and things, and run 35 marathons now to support the charity. So,
well, I did notice are you going to be doing the Boston Marathon soon? Is it?
Yeah, Boston Marathon coming up soon.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
No, thanks so much. Like I said, push my limits and prepared to do anything it takes. I think when you say that to yourself and you're committed to doing that, your life will change.
Definitely, and it's like your I don't like to say journey, but you know, it's very inspiring for, you know, people as well. You yourself, I mean, to go from where you was to now running all of these marathons and, you know, keeping fit, and just shows that, you know, it's not the end of everything for people when they, you know, if you get through it and you know, like you say, like yourself, you find that support and yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think even, you know, facing adversity, it has to be brain injury necessarily, but any adversity in life, we've all got challenges in life. I think if, you know, you look after yourself in a health perspective and you reach out for support when you need it, then, you know, you really can go on to achieve anything. And if it's a change of career or, you know, just trying to develop yourself, learn new skills, You know, anything really is possible if you're willing to put the work in. You know, I'm running a team of seven here, and I never imagined that I would be working with the NHS. And we've actually just been speaking to Hull University about some work with the nutrition and dietetics team there. You know, I was on site with the lads for 16 years. Believe you me, the language on site with the lads is very different to the language that I speak to. And I had to develop all these new sort of that understanding and these new skills. But if you're willing, if you're prepared to do anything it takes to make it work,
And I know all about that whole language thing, because I went the opposite way around. When I first left uni, I got a job in sort of corporate finance, and it was really sort of stiff and it's very sort of I hated it really. And then I now work offshore on the wind farms and doing that, and completely different environment. You know, everybody obviously swears like sailors, you know, it's just like, and you can just be yourself. So it's like, I completely understand it from the other way around, really. So, well, thanks for chatting with me anyway, Paul. And hopefully we can, you know, I'll put this out. It'll be on Spotify and YouTube and Apple Podcasts and things like that. So, hopefully get the word out a bit more as well. Not that you need it. You're doing a great job, obviously. So it's but thank you. Thanks very much.
No, it's a pleasure. And thank you for the opportunity. We do need to raise as much awareness as we can. We are a small charity, so, you know, we don't have a huge marketing budget. So any way that we can raise awareness, if anyone can help us with that, any listeners, then we'd appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been part of the journey and helped in some way, you know, from anything from small to large bits, that's all helped us develop. We are very thankful. And without your support, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Great stuff. Thanks, Paul. Cheers.
Thanks, Matthew. Take care and all the best to you, Mum.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, mate. See you later. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.